the Sonic Innovators Orchestra, featuring students of TheraMemories and conducted by David Ornette Cherry at 9 p.m. That's this Thursday, beginning at 7 p.m., a 12-hour tribute to the phenomenon known as Sun Ra, here on KBOO Portland.
How do you stop it?
Alrighty, you are listening to KBOO Portland, and this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, salads, and wraps, located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland, 503-232-5511 or laurelhursttheater.com.
Hello and welcome to the film show on KBOO. I'm Jen Chavez.
And I'm SW Conser. Today we'll be talking about empowering creative youth to make films. Lauren Grant and Lizzie Freeman will be in the studio from Free Arts Northwest.
And we'll be hearing about an animation festival from the Netherlands that's making its first tour of the West Coast.
But first, let's welcome back to the studio Hannah Piper Burns and Ben Pop of the Experimental Film Festival. Hannah and Ben, welcome.
Thanks so much for having us again.
Yeah, so this is which incarnation of the Experimental Film Festival is this?
Number three.
I remember last year it was quite a scene. It was at Studio 2 in Southeast Portland, sort of the Southeast industrial area, and it had a great village kind of community feeling. You're going to be at different venues this year, but you're trying to maintain that whole feeling of community with lots of food and drink and mingling and things like that?
Well, not as much food per se. definitely mingling and drink. We're going to be working with the Clinton Street Theater, the Hollywood Theater, and Disjecta. And I feel that we're going to try to make it as much of that as possible, that feeling.
For us, it's kind of a new thing that we're trying this year, as you know, working closely with theaters, although we've always worked with the Clinton at least a little bit because we just love that venue so much. But it's really great for us to, when we don't have to worry about OLCC and food sponsors and all of the production value that goes into setting up and taking down a space every day, we feel like that freed us up to do some other like more fun stuff as well. So we're kind of just playing with that model and seeing how we like it.
And you're going to be, there's something for people from every neighborhood. In the Southeast, there's the Clinton Street. Mm-hmm. In the Northeast, there's the Hollywood. And in North Portland, there's Disjecta. And I understand that at Disjecta, you're going to be doing some installations, some film installations that are pretty unique. They're groundbreaking stuff.
I'm really excited to have Stephen Slappy's App 8. It's going to be on display. He just released that on the Apple Store, and it's a fantastic experimental new media film meets video game, and it's filmed in 360. So it's going to be a total body immersion experience at Disjecta. We also have Jody Cavalier, who's a local artist exhibiting, as well as great artists from all over the country.
So this is going to be something you can pick up on an iPad. There will be iPads there for people to look at this app that's a creative video game experimental film mashup.
Exactly. And iPads and headphones, so people can test drive it and see what it's all about. We're really happy to have it. It's such an amazing accomplishment. And then if people want to have it on their phones, they can go for it and buy it.
Well, let's talk about the lineup. The festival goes from May 28th to June 1st. You got 11 screenings featuring over 150 artists from 17 countries. The lineup is going to be doing some great collaborations here with various groups. I see that Cinema Project is participating on the first with a German Expressionist program, Das Suchende Bild, The Searching Image.
Yeah, we're happy to be working with Cinema Project, as we've done the last 2 years, and they always have a great program. It's all 16 millimeter, and it's definitely going to be great.
And then a collaboration with nature. I want to find out about this. This is Karen Klein and Julie Perini. This is direct filmmaking meets environmental action. And this is going to be happening during the festival. This is this whole process of creating this film.
Well, no, there's two parts. So there's a workshop that's going to be happening on Thursday, May 29th at PSU. And that's a free workshop for people to attend. And it's that's going to be the direct animation component where they're going to be using elements from the nature, seeds, sticks, spores, whatever, putting them together. And that film that is created, they will also premiere during
alongside
this
curated program. Yeah.
And Black Radical Imagination. Tell me about this. Amir George and Aaron Christovale.
We love Amir. We've worked with him several times before. He brought a curated program last year that we showed also on the last day of the fest. And this program has been doing a ton of touring. It's gotten some great reviews. It's not work that I've seen before, and I am just really thrilled to have the opportunity to bring it to Portland.
And lest anybody think, oh, sorry, Ben.
Oh, no, I was just nodding my head. Like, yeah.
Yeah, we love Amir.
So unless anybody think that that there's, you know, that this is all free and easy and there's no competition, you've got a throwdown that's coming up. It's F Portland Throwdown. This sounds very very competitive.
Yeah, so it's kind of our take. They used to do for PDX Fest the Invitational. So we kind of wanted to sort of bring that back. People were interested, but with a new take on it. So we got local filmmakers. We chose, Hannah and I chose 8 filmmakers and had them choose 8 artists themselves. And so they're kind of working in the idea of like a manager or fighter. And then we kind of created this bracket style event, and they're going to go head to head.
Yeah, so throughout the fest, there'll be rounds. So at Disjecta on Thursday night, we're having the quarterfinals. So they'll basically be showing a piece one after another, and a panel of out-of-town judges will vote on who wins and advances. And so we're having the quarterfinals on Thursday night, the semifinals on Friday night, and the finals on Saturday.
So this is May 28th through June 1st that the whole event is going on here, mm-hmm. the whole run of events. And yeah, so you've got a bunch of live performances as well. Let's hear about some of those that are going to be happening. I mean, you know, there's film, of course, but there's a combination of film and performance. You've got music. You've got various artists that are going to be in the venues.
Absolutely. Well, one performance that we're really excited about is going to happen on Friday night to introduce our last program of the evening. And it's a group. It's an artist from Los Angeles named Jonesy, and he does beautiful paper cutout animation that he'll be showing with live accompaniment by a band called Unthum. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece, and we're thrilled to have it. And then at Disjecta on Thursday night, we're going to have a couple of ambient performances by Future Death Toll and Ja Justice, and then another ambient performance called Iran Israel that is coming up from San Francisco, as well as Mike Morris, who is from Dallas, who was here last year as well. He'll be performing his piece, Second Hermeneutic, and that actually just won Best Expanded Cinema at Milwaukee Underground. And we love him. We're happy to have him back. It's going to be lots of pretty colors and pretty sounds and a lot of...
It's got a nice incorporation of old analog projectors,
yeah,
but
16.
The sound going out into digital, so morphing the sound that way. So a nice kind of like mix between the two mediums.
Well, it sounds like you've got so many venues and schools and various community groups participating throughout the run of the festival. Is there still a chance for people to participate in some way in some of the workshops and some of the volunteer or, possibilities?
Workshops, definitely. There's, we'll post it on if people want to look on our Facebook site or the website, we'll post it. But Julie Perini is the one who's going to be kind of in charge of wrangling people for the workshop.
Yeah, you can look at our website and our Facebook page for that flyer and the information that you need for that.
And it's F Portland, EFF Portland is, now what's the, you got a Facebook page and you've also got a website. What's the URL for that?
fportland.com.
Okay. And once again, so this is happening from May 28th through June 1st. And is there a contact sort of link on your website that people can find out more? Is there a schedule? Everything's there?
The schedule's there. Everything's okay. There. If anyone's got any questions, you can shoot us an email, info@effportland.com.
And on our Facebook group, we have a event invitation that we update pretty much every day, which is a great way to get even more info on performances and the various many, many things that are happening.
And lastly, really quick, starting this weekend around town, there's going to be guerrilla screenings. So keep your eye out around town for some
roving guerrilla promotion.
Projections.
Well, Hannah Piper Burns and Ben Pop of the Experimental Film Festival, thanks for joining us again at KBOO. This has been big fun, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the 28th through the 1st at the Clinton Street, the Hollywood Theater, and Disjecta.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Film Show on KBOO. I'm SW Conser.
And I'm Jen Chavez. In a few moments, we'll be talking with Lauren Grant and Lizzie Freeman from Free Arts Northwest about their programs for empowering creative youth.
And, of course, we'll be telling you about many other film events coming up in the area.
But first, there's a Dutch animation festival that's making the rounds of the West Coast, arriving in Portland on the 1st of June. And Conch is here to talk with the founder of Click.
Yes, and I'm on the line with Dario Van Free, who is the founder of the Click Animation Festival in the Netherlands. And Dario, you are currently in the United States. You're on the West Coast. You're doing a tour, and you're coming to Portland.
Hi, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're coming to Portland to show some of the best Dutch films we've received in the past 5 years, and also a program with the best international films of the past year.
Well, this festival is very well regarded, the Click Festival. The screenings that you show, they're pretty crowd-pleasing. There are a number of short animated pieces that are very comical, very funny. Some of them are a little bit naughty.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I think that also honors the tradition of Dutch filmmaking. They say that there in every Dutch film there has to be at least one very explicit sex scene and a lot of swearing. So I guess this also trickles down to the animation sometimes.
So you've got several screenings that'll be playing here in Portland at the end of the month. These will be at the Hollywood Theater. You're going to be introducing a number of different screenings, and one of them is a midnight screening that's mostly for adults.
That's right, yeah. It's called Midnight Madness. This is a program that is, I think, in Portland, it's accessible for art students, I was told, only, or was it also for the public? I'm not sure. I really hope it's for the public, because these are some of the most outrageous animations that are out there. I mean, we get really weird stuff, and we were always, you know, we have to show this to people. So we came up with the idea of compiling a program called Midnight Madness. And it would be shown in the middle of the night. It would be free admission, you know, because we couldn't charge people to watch, you know, really bad stuff. So. And later we also made it more into a real event with a host that would, you know, to calm you down after you've seen some really bad stuff. It would show some nice kitten pictures and stuff like that, you know, to calm your nerves.
Ah, cat videos. So in addition to Midnight Madness, you've got two other screening programs, and one of them is mainly Dutch-based animation, and the other is all comers from around the world.
That's right, yeah. The first one, the Dutch animation program, is a really good overview of what's happening in the Netherlands in the field of animation at the moment. So there's some really well-made, beautiful things, very poetic films. But most of it is really catchy and funny, you know. Like you said, it's very audience-oriented. And the other one, that is a collection of films that have either won prizes past 5 years at the festival or were just really, you know, really stood out as being a special film. So we compiled the program to be also, you know, not just one type of film, but all types of films.
Now, if listeners want to go on your webpage, I think you can do that by typing Click into the search engine, and that's K-L-I-K. There are some pictures of your mascot, the Clicker, and he's in various countries, photographed in various settings.
Right. Yeah, the mascot. He's most people think that we first came up with the concept as a whole. Like we call the festival Click, and we have this mascot, the Clicker, which is a little plastic thingy that makes a sound.
Kind of like the noise an old school projector will make.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the noise a camera would make when you would, record one frame of the animation. So most people think they came up with that right away, but we didn't. The festival was initially called Klit, with a T, which in Dutch means to stick together. But, of course, we got some questions about that name, so we had to change it to Click to avoid,
misunderstandings.
A little bit more official.
Yes.
And after that, our financial director, he was in a toy store, and he found this thingy, this clicker, and he said, let's start, handing these out so people can make the noise of our festival instead of clapping their hands, which is, it was a very fun thing to do, and it sounded and looked much more sophisticated than, just mashing your hands together. So that was something that we never thought of at the beginning. It just grew naturally.
Well, will people in Portland have a chance to play with the clickers when you come to town on June 1st?
Well, I'm very sad to say that we're out of clickers.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it's a tragedy. We handed them all out now. So, unfortunately, we won't have any clickers for you, but we will have a little, to compensate, we have a little Dutch treat for every visitor.
Well, that sounds very enticing.
Better.
And we hope it's legal.
Oh, yes, definitely, yeah. No, absolutely.
Now, how can listeners find out more about Click?
Well, the first thing you could do is go to our website, which is Click Amsterdam, so K-L-I-K Amsterdam.nl, and you can read most about the festival there. But the best way, of course, is to come to screening, or even better, come to Amsterdam in November.
Well, the Click Animation Festival West Coast Tour lands in Portland on June 1st. It'll be at the Hollywood Theater, and it's co-sponsored by ASIFA Portland. Well, Dario Van Free, thank you for telling us all about the films that'll be screening, and we look forward to seeing you in Portland.
Yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure to be able to talk about Click. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you there, everyone.
And now back to Jen.
Thanks, Conch. You're listening to The Film Show on KBOO. I'm Jen Chavez. And now I'm joined in the studio by Lauren Grant and Lizzie Freeman from Free Arts Northwest. They're board members with a local group which provides arts education to underserved youth. Recently, they hosted their fifth annual Spring Break Young Filmmakers Camp. And student work from the program will screen at the Hollywood Theater on June 11th at 7:30. Lauren and Lizzie, welcome to the show.
Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much for having us, Jen.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So let me first, before we talk about the film program in particular, can you just speak to how Free Arts Northwest got started?
Yeah, so we got started in 2009, and Chris Bellet and Sylvia, two art therapists, decided to create this program through their passion of helping kids and really helping them explore their confidence and everything through art.
Great. So is that generally what's the general notion behind arts therapy, providing arts education as therapy? Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Well, I think it starts from creating a space where the kids feel safe, and then therefore they kind of step out of their box and start dipping their hands in the water, and
I think a main theme, too, is using art as a channel to touch youth. The youth that we are working with come from all sorts of diverse backgrounds and are kind of a special population, including foster youth, previously incarcerated youth, low income, as you've mentioned, and then, emerging bilingual or ESL youth or recent refugees or immigrants. So it's a channel to touch with art and to get them involved and excited about something. But for those non-artists, it's a safe place, as Lizzie mentions, and an opportunity to provide mentorship and kind of a positive influence.
Great. Yeah, you guys were telling me a little bit before the show about the way that you kind of go out to certain locations and do community outreach. How does that work?
We go out to Gresham and places like that where we work with Home Forward and the Multnomah County Library Services. But we pretty much just start, like, we also work with David Douglas School and
Other areas where we're needed. So we have previous contacts, as Lizzie mentioned, with Home Forward, which is also known as the Portland Housing Authority. So complexes with low-income families. So we've just been, since 2009, going where we think are needed, and then word spread, and we've been contacted through other channels and just make a point to accept contracts or programming that we think is in line with our mission. So the focus is, again, with low-income youth, and we do find ourselves a lot of times on the east side, not as well off as, you know, downtown and in the suburbs. So that's our focus.
Well, it's great to hear about your organization growing within the last couple of years. It sounds like you guys have a lot of great programming lined up. So specifically, we're here to talk about the Spring Break Young Filmmakers Camp. Has film education always been a part of the work you're doing, or how did that get integrated in the program?
Sure. It's been a cornerstone of Free Arts Northwest since its inception in 2009. So as you mentioned, it's the fifth annual Spring Break Film Camp, and it's something that definitely we're most known for, although we continue to do various other projects and summer programming with other art mediums. But the film camp is, I think, so tremendously successful in that film is so accessible to youth. It's exciting, you know, with the popularity of YouTube and all TV and other media that we consume that's film. I think it's so easy to picture yourself behind the camera or as an actor. It also gives youth the opportunity to try many different avenues, if you will, in film.
That's how they find out about the film camp, too, also through David Douglas, which I think is a big part of how the students know about us, especially the ESL program there. And so we start out, it's for a week, and the kids come and they get tested, kind of like they get thrown into the fire, and it's like, you know, we kind of see what they're good at, what their interests are, and they start doing team building exercises, and we have professional directors, actors,
screenwriters, editors. They'll come in. So as Lizzie mentioned, day one, we throw them in the fire. We make them go through training and everything. So there'll be students who day one, hey, I want to be the director. Well, okay, but we're going to get trained in all these different areas in cinematography and filmmaking and screenwriting and directing. And then by the end of day one, youth mentors and adult mentors are observing and, you know, take note of where we think the youth might be well placed. And so on day two, they find out what team they're in, what role they'll be playing, and are again thrown in with a new mix of people and given a random assignment of what genre of film they'll be filming. They're required to incorporate a randomly selected prop, which is always kind of an interesting thing to throw in the mix. And then throughout the week, you see them do it. So the individuals in each team are designated into a role of acting, screenwriting, cinematography, and directing, and they really learn that role and own that role. And throughout the course of the week, they come together in their teams and end up with a product of a professional quality film in the course of 7 days, I think is...
Yeah, that's very quickly. And these are the films that are going to be screening at the Hollywood Theater, correct, on June 11th?
Yes.
All the student work. Great. Well, we look forward to that event very much. Just I guess, to close, I mean, I'm really interested in the fact that, you know, contrary to some of the other youth film programs in town that you guys are providing this for free and specifically targeting underserved youth. Like, how do you think film, particularly as a meaning, as a medium, can be empowering to underserved youth? And what are you hoping that they're going to take away from this, like, regardless of whether they want to become professional filmmakers?
Well, they really form a bond with each other, and I think that helps them grow and they learn about themselves. They help us learn. I mean, I think by the end of the week, I've learned more about myself than anything. But, like, for example, there was one kid, Albert, and he was from Albania, and he was really shy and he was really nervous about his ability to speak English. And by the end of the week, he said, "I'm living my dream." And that really got us. And when he was in school, he actually applied as one of the lead actors in the play, and he got it. And it was just like, you know, this kid barely speaking English, very shy, very nervous on day one, you know, finishes the film camp with such extraordinary confidence and pride in what he's done. And then once he returns back to school from spring break, is cast as a lead role in a school production. So I think that's just fantastic and kind of embodies what we hope to do, is empower youth and provide that mentorship, that, you know, even that one adult that touches them and gives them support in maybe a circumstance where they wouldn't have that otherwise.
Terrific. Well, I've really enjoyed having you here talking about your program, and I hope some folks are interested in coming out to the Hollywood Theater screening on June 11th at 7:30 p.m. I've been speaking with Laurie Grant and Lizzie Freeman with Free Arts Northwest. Lauren and Lizzie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah, just quickly, do you guys have a website where folks can find more information about?
Yes, it's freeartsnorthwest.org, and on the website, on every page, you'll find on the right-hand side a donation button if you are so inclined, because we are 100% donation, grant, you know, volunteer-based, and that's how we provide these camps for free for those low-income underserved youth.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Lauren and Lizzie.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, you're listening to The Film Show on KBOO, and I'm SW Conser.
I'm Jen Chavez, and before we go, we'd like to bring you our monthly calendar of film events in the Portland area. On May 24th, the Hollywood Theater will screen Big Joy, a film about experimental filmmaker and precursor to the Beat Movement, James Broughton. Screening at 4:30 p.m. with the film's co-directors in attendance. To learn more, visit hollywoodtheater.org.
On May 25th, Coventry Cycle Works will present the documentary Hope at 7 p.m. at Velo Cult Bike Shop in Northeast Portland. The film follows a long-distance cyclist through a 3,000-mile race in the wake of her sister's cancer diagnosis. Learn more at 3000miles2acure.com/hope.
On May 28th, the Clinton Street Theater's monthly feminist film series, Real Feminism, continues with a 7 p.m. screening of Mountains That Take Wing. This film consists of recorded conversations between Angela Davis and Nobel Peace Prize winner Yuri Kochiyama. More info can be found at cstpdx.com.
On May 29th, the season-long Portland Eco Film Festival returns to the Hollywood Theater with a screening of Bringing It Home, a documentary about hemp. Show starts at 7:30. See hollywoodtheater.org for details.
Running May 30th and 31st and June 5th and 7th, also at the Hollywood Theater, Opera Theater Oregon presents Giassone and the Argonauts, a half-film, half-live performance fusion of 17th century Venetian opera and Ray Harryhausen's sword and sandal epic. More info at operatheateror.wordpress.com.
Local Collective Cinema Project has the last two screenings of its spring series coming up. As we heard earlier, on June 1st at 1:30, they'll present a program of German experimental shorts called The Searching Image at Clinton Street Theater as part of the Experimental Film Festival. And on June 6th, they'll celebrate their 10th anniversary with selections from the Cinema Project archives, screened outdoors at The Big Country in Northeast Portland. To learn more about either of these, visit cinemaproject.org.
On June 4th, the Hollywood Theater hosts the International Youth Silent Film Festival's International Award Show. Regional festival winners will come together to compete for additional recognition and featuring live organ accompaniment as well. Show starts at 7:30. Visit makesilentfilm.com to learn more.
And on June 5th, the Northwest Film Center and Creative Music Guild join to present The Reach of Resonance, a documentary juxtaposing the stories and methods of different international musicians and sound artists. The 7 p.m. screening is presented as part of the Creative Music Guild's Improvisation Summit of Portland. More info at nwfilm.org.
On June 8th, local vegan grocer Food Fight presents the Portland premiere of The Ghosts in Our Machine at Clinton Street Theater at 7 p.m. This documentary examines animal rights through the lens of photographer Joanne MacArthur and her photo project We Animals. More information can be found at cstpdx.com or at foodfightgrocery.com.
On June 12th, KBOO's own film series at the Clinton Street Theater continues with a 7 p.m. screening of Satyricon, Madness and Glory, a documentary remembering Portland's infamous punk club Satyricon. Visit cstpdx.com or our website, kboo.fm, to learn more.
And to wrap it up, running June 15th through the 29th, the Portland Jewish Film Festival returns to the Northwest Film Center for its 22nd year. For a festival program and showtimes, visit nwfilm.org.
Well, thanks to our guests today, Lauren Grant and Lizzie Freeman, Dario Van Free, and Hannah Parpa Burns and Ben Pop. You've been listening to The Film Show. I'm SW Conser.
And I'm Jen Chavez. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their ongoing support and collaboration. And thanks to all of our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for the show will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow.
Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio show. Radio station.
You're listening to the news headlines at noon for Thursday, May 22nd on KBOO. On Wednesday, the Transportation Department submitted a proposal for airlines to disclose their hidden fees when quoting flight prices. This includes checked and carry-on bags and advanced seating fees. And fees would also have to be included on ticket agent sites like Google and Kayak. The department believes it would give consumers more buying power in the face of the increasing debundling strategy airlines have adopted. However, the airlines trade group is protesting, saying this limits the free trade market and could have negative consequences. The public has 90 days to comment on the proposal.